We just ask you, Lord, to help us to speak out what you've given us, Lord. We thank you for your anointing upon the word that touches hearts and changes lives. And Father, we just give you glory for this whole day. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. Good to see everybody out this morning. Praise the Lord. We've officially, I think, maybe entered into winter time, but it won't last long now, right? It's January. We're on the upside now, going the other way. Already can tell just a little bit of difference in the daylight of the day. Can you all? There's a little bit of difference already. Thank God for that, right? Amen. All right, go with me to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. And let's read verse 1 and 2 here. It says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. That word perfection means maturity. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism and of the laying of hands and of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. Now, it sounds like the writer of Hebrews is telling us, you know, not, we shouldn't stick to the basics, but that's not what he's saying. What he's saying is this: you've been given the basics. Now it's time for you to move on into maturity and start to grow. It's time for you to start to get more. You know, a lot of folks, now listen, we need the cross for the new birth. We can never forget the cross. The cross was the greatest thing that ever happened for mankind, was for Jesus to die on the cross. If Jesus hadn't died on the cross and given his life for our sin, then we would all go to hell. But he paid the price for us so that we wouldn't have to go to hell. He became a sacrifice. The Bible says he who knew no sin was made to be sin for us. Think about that. Jesus didn't know sin, but he was made to be sin for us so that we could be made the righteousness of God in him. So if you're in this house this morning and you're a born-again child of God, then you are the righteousness of God. Not by your good works, but by the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. So here's what the writer of Hebrews, I believe it's Paul, but you know, there's arguments through the theologians, but it falls with the Pauline writings. But he says this. He says, let's take now and let's move on from the cross. You're born again now. Now let's go on in to maturity. Let's begin to get into the deeper things of the Word of God and start to study out and see what God has for us. Amen. Well, here's the thing, church. You understand that you can't grow. If you're born again and you've heard the word of salvation and you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, that word is simply the fact that Jesus Christ died on a cross for our sins, was placed in the tomb. On the third day, he rose again. And if we believe that and confess him with our mouth as our Lord, then we're saved. That's the gospel message. That's it. That's it in its full. I mean, you can expound and say more and more, but that's the simplicity of it. God made it so easy everybody could understand it. Okay? But what he says is this: once you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, now it's time to move on into the deeper things of God, because as a baby, you cannot be much help in the kingdom of God. Come on. Pastor Ed has held this baby right here in her arms all through praise and worship. You know what? This baby's not sung a note. Come on now. She's not been able to praise. Now, some babies, he lifted up his hand, and some of our little ones are saying. But what I'm trying to tell you is, you need to start to mature. You need to start growing up before you understand how to be a help in the kingdom of God. You were never saved just so you could sit around and be a baby Christian all your life. Amen. That's not God's goal for you. This child was born in this earth for her parents to grow her up. And she's going to do great things when she grows up. Amen. You were born again so that you could grow up and do great things in the kingdom of God. But you won't do great things just hanging around hearing a salvation message. Now, we need it from time to time for those that are lost. Sometimes it reminds us where we came from. But the fact is, if I'm born again and you just tell me how to get born again, again and again and again, then I'm not going to grow any. Right? Because I've already done what you gave me from the gospel to do, and so there's nothing else to do if all I keep hearing is how to get saved because I'm already saved. Right? Come on now, somebody's teaching you how to do something. If they just stay on the first step all the time, you'll never learn how to do it all, right? Amen. And see, so that's what the writer of Hebrews is trying to say. He says, you know, it's time for us to get past now the cross, and thank God for it, but we now need to move on into the deeper things of God. We need to start learning more and more about God. We can't just hang around there, although there's a lot of folks like to. Let me give you that scripture in the New Living Testament. It sounds, you'll like it a little bit better. It says, so let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again. Let us go on instead and become mature in our understanding. Surely we don't need to start again with the fundamental importance of repenting from evil deeds and placing your faith in God. You don't need further instruction about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. That's the New Living Testament. So he says, you know, you don't need to hear all this again. It's time for us to mature and get serious about some things. Now, go with me over here to 1 Peter, and let's look over here. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Peter writing, he says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow by thereby. If so be, you've tasted that the Lord is gracious. Now, what's he telling us there? Here Peter's telling us, he says, we need to have a desire for the sincere things of God. The deeper things of God. Notice that. The sincere milk is not skim milk. Okay? The sincere milk is not 1%. It's not 2%. The sincere milk is whole milk. With all of its nutrients in it. Okay? When he's talking about desiring the sincere milk of the Word, he's talking about, let's get in now to the things that God has for us in His Word, and let's earnestly desire them. See, you can read through the Bible and still not get what God wants you to have. Amen. Because you have to take time to just get in there and study more than read. As you study, then you start getting a hold of the sincere things. So Peter wants us to get in there and dig out the nutrients, the good stuff in the Word of God that God has for us. You know, a lot of people don't understand and know that God has a whole lot more for us than salvation. Thank God for salvation. We all got to be saved. That's the most important thing to get to heaven. But we didn't need all this just to tell us how to get saved. God gave us His Word so that you and I would be able to read it and get what He wants us to have in the kingdom of God. Now, let's look here at another scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if you go there with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And let's look verse 1 there. Here Paul's writing to the Corinthians. Now listen, the Corinthian church was a great church. They were full of spunk. They were full of excitement. They were all out. I mean, man, they just were so zealous for the things of God. But at the same time, they didn't take time to know what they were supposed to know before they started doing stuff. They were very zealous, like for spiritual gifts, but they would just jump up and they'd get out of order and they'd do all the. So Paul writing to the Corinthian church, a lot of it is instructions to get them to get settled down so that they can learn about the things of God. And so here he says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual. Look at that. But as unto carnal, even as babes in Christ. See that? He says, I've fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For you're yet carnal, for whereas there's among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? Now, I looked at some other translations there when he talks about, you know, are you not carnal and walk as men? And what that walk as men meant, one translation said you walk just as a mere man, you walk as an unsaved man, you walk as an unspiritual person. You see, here's the thing, folks. Once we get born again, we are a new creature in Christ Jesus. We are now a spiritual creature. But you can allow your flesh to cause you to act like you used to. Come on now, your spirit man doesn't want to act that way, but that flesh man, it desires the things that it used to desire. So it's up to you to keep your flesh under control. Amen. It's up to you not to get angry and dispute and despise and get jealous and do all that. That's up for you to control. Amen. And if you'll listen to your spirit man, you can. But if you listen to anybody that lets your flesh rise up and you get mad and want to fight somebody, come on now. Get to reading on a post, somebody's talking about you on Facebook, and you, man, you want to retaliate. Come on now, I'll throw up both of my hands. You all acting so, some of y'all need just your halos out there, man. You're already there, you know. No, he's saying, you know, you've got all this stuff going on. He said, so I can't give you the meat. I can't give you the deep stuff. I can't give you the stuff you need because of the way you're acting. You're still a baby in Christ. You've never allowed yourself to grow up. You're still on the bottle. Don't get mad at me. Now, that's what he said, right? He said, you're still on milk and I can't give you meat because you're still acting like you're not saved. You're still acting like the world. How can I count you as spiritual when you act like the world? Church, there ought to be a difference in us and the world. It ought to be a notable difference. It ought to be a seeable difference. What the world does, we shouldn't be doing. The things the world says, we shouldn't be saying. Why? Because we have the Holy One living on the inside of us. The Holy Ghost is in us, and He will prompt us and urge us not to do those things. But you can quench the Spirit and do what you want to do. And that's what a lot of people do. Amen. So he tells them, he says, listen, I couldn't give you the meat because you were so unspiritual. You were so such babies that I couldn't. See, God wants us to get matured, every person that's born again, so that we can be instructors of others. How can we help somebody else when we need help ourselves? Amen. You can't teach somebody something else if you don't know it yourself. Amen. See, in the trouble, one of the things in the body of Christ, and it doesn't matter what church you go to, one of the things in the body of Christ is this, that people depend on the preachers to give them the Word of God. Well, now, we do give you the Word of God, but do you know you have a responsibility to study the Word of God for yourself? For you to learn, because you just listen to preaching, you're just going to get highlights of things. But if you get into the Word, then you'll get detailed things. You know, and I'm more of a preacher. I kind of teach. And so I explain things a little more. But you get under a preacher that's, you know, going 100 miles an hour, you know, sometimes it's hard for me to keep up with them. So you're not going to get a whole lot of depth in that. Now, you know, you're some good stuff, just the same. But I'm just saying. You know, so it's up to you for you to dig into the Word and get all the meat, all the details from the Word of God. See, I'm the type of person that if somebody calls me and we talk for 30 minutes, Pastor Ed will say, well, what do they want? I'll sum up with one sentence what we said. Just one sentence. You mean you talk for 30 minutes and that's what all you talked about? In my mind, that's it. I just summed it up. Now, she's the type of person. What'd they say? Well, then what'd you say? Then what'd they say? And how they feel about that? What'd you know? She wants all the details. And I don't want that. What'd they want? Okay. I'm good. Amen. Now, I know y'all probably ain't, just wait, man, Pastor Ed is, I guess. None of y'all. Men, are your wives like that? Do they want all the details? Are you? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, okay. Apparently, it must be that left brain, right brain thing. Right? You know, stuff. We don't have to tell the whole tale. We can just sum it up real quick. And that doesn't satisfy you all, though. You know. Right? Come on, guys. Somebody help me out here, you know. I know they're sitting beside you, and I know you're going to get an elbow, but you can still, you know. Yeah, actually, just take the elbow and go on, you know. Get in with your pastor here. Help me out here just a little bit, okay? We've got to be willing to dig into the meat of the Word and exercise it in our lives. We cannot just stay on the milk. We have to get in there. We have to dig it out and get it into our lives and then act on it. See, that's the most important thing, is acting on it, because you can know it and not act on it and it won't do you any good. Right? Knowing the Word and not acting on it does not help you. You must act on that Word. Right? You can know you have something. You know, you can know you've got money in the bank. If you don't ever make a withdrawal, it won't do you any good, right? Amen. You can have the Word in the bank here, but if you don't ever get it out, it won't help you none if you don't ever activate it. And God's telling us, listen, I want you to get into the Word, find out everything about my Word, and activate it and make it work in your life. Amen. Do you understand that? See, let me get this. The Word of God is not a fairy tale book. See, most people look at the Word of God as kind of like a fairy tale. But the Word of God is real people that went through real things. The Old Testament, actually, the Bible says that that's for an example for us. The stuff they went through is to show us stuff that you shouldn't do, stuff that you can do or could do. And then you get into the New Testament and it shows you what all the disciples went through and what Jesus went through to get us to the place now where that we can use what the Word of God says for benefits in our life now. So it's not just a fairy tale book. Really, the Word of God is the operation manual for a believer. Amen. It's the operation manual for a believer. The Bible gives us the operation, the operating system, and then tells us how to use it. Right? It tells us about God and how we've become spiritual. It tells us, you know, about how faith works, and then tells us how to use that faith. Yeah, think of it this way. You know, especially now, you know, used to you got in a car. When you got a car, it was pretty simple. You know, back in my early days, you know, younger days and whatever, you got them in, you know, they would still have the 3 speeds on the column and shifting, and automatics were very rare. Almost every car or truck had manual shift in them. Okay? There wasn't any instruction books. You just got in there and started learning how, you know, I never did see one. I'll put it like that. You started learning how to drive like that. Now all these new cars have come along. Okay? I mean, you know, the Traverse does things that, you know, back when I was growing up, it's science fiction. Right? Seriously, I mean, you just push this button down here and you can go down the road and let go of the steering wheel. Now, it comes to this line and it moves you back over to this side. It comes to this line. Matter of fact, if you're not careful, when you come up to where the road parts like that, you're wanting to go this way and it starts trying to pull the steering wheel because it thinks you're going the wrong way. I don't like that part of the feature. That's why I turned it off. But if you fell asleep, it would keep you in the road for a while. And then all of a sudden, after a little while, it starts getting out of balance to where it'll start beeping at you and says, put your hands on the wheel. You know. You have to know that feature's there before you understand it. See, it was on when we got the vehicle. And I thought, kept thinking, what's the matter with this stupid thing? It's trying to take this wheel out of my hand. And it was just trying to correct, you know. And so I had to get into the manual to figure out how to turn that thing off. I was driving down the road going to Lexington. I was probably not driving the speed I should, okay. I mean, I don't know many people that once they get where it says 70, don't run at least 75. Some of y'all, law-abiding citizens. Some of us have radar detectors. And here I am cruising, you know. I'm trying to get to Lexington in a hurry. Everybody else go to Lexington in a hurry when you go? Everybody that goes to Lexington's from here seems like they're in a hurry. They got to get there fast because you got an appointment, got something going on usually. I'm going down through there, you know, got it set on 75 and I'm hammering down. And Pastor Rhett and I are talking, you know, back and forth and stuff. And I just have, I wouldn't pay any attention. I look down at the speedometer, I'm running 65. I said, what's the matter with this stupid thing? Well, it's got progressive auto, what's it called? What? What am I trying to say when you put it on? Set the speed. Cruise control, thank you. I lost out on cruise control there, okay? And I found out it had two different kinds of cruise control. And the one it was on, came from the factory with, was one that it's got all those cameras on it. So if you're driving 90 miles an hour down the road and you've got that set, if it comes up behind the car going 50, it slows down and follows that car 50 miles an hour. On its own, you don't have to tell it to. It just slows down. If you pull out the pass, it'll go ahead and once speed it right back up. You had to find out how to turn that thing off. So you had to get into the manual, is what I'm trying to show you here. There are things about that vehicle that I did not know or could not have known without getting into the instruction book, the manual, the operation manual for that vehicle. I got tickled at Mike Manuel one time. He had a car for 3 or 4 years, and it had a feature on it that he didn't know was on there and never did know it was there. And he finally discovered, he said, I've been driving that car 4 years, and I didn't know it'd do that. You all laugh, but some of you have got some features on your car you probably don't even know about yet. Because you ain't read the manual. Because it's thick, right? The Bible's kind of thick. Well, I'm going to tell you something. There's things in the Word of God that you don't know about you. That God has given you. There are features about your faith that God wants you to use, and you don't even have a clue that that feature is available to you. Come on now. And it's because we don't study the manual. We don't study the Word and find out what God says we can have. And see, somebody could tell you that you have that, and you'll argue with them. Not mine. Mine don't do that. Oh, yes, it does. You just didn't know how to operate it. Come on, right? I mean, you know, the cars do all kinds of wild stuff now. You know, and here's the thing. God has got all kinds of wild stuff for us in His Word. I don't know about that. Well, what about where the Word says you will decree a thing and it'll come to pass? That's kind of wild if you ask me. How about if thou can believe, all things are possible to him that believes? That's a feature that's pretty tough, right? That's pretty wild. Come on. How about you laying hands on the sick and they shall recover? That's kind of wild, right? I thought only doctors could heal. Doctors can't heal. They just practice medicine.
That's right.
Did you hear me? They practice a learned trait. But you have been given, built in by your manufacturer, God, features that work without man's help. You have built in, once you had the Lord Jesus Christ come into your life, the anointing to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover.
Hallelujah.
You have the ability to speak a supernatural language that you never learned if you want to get filled with the Holy Ghost. It's a language between you and God. Think about that. God made every one of you unique and special. Think about it. Not one person out of all the people in the world that's ever been or ever will be have the same fingerprints. Get a hold of that one. You know, all these cars now, you know, your phone's got face recognition and all of that stuff. God's got special recognition for you at your fingertips. Come on, see, what I'm trying to help you to see here is You'll never know these things. You'll never get these things unless you get into the Word and start pulling it out of the Word and letting it operate in your life. We're the body of Christ. We're supposed to be doing signs and wonders and miracles. God's working through us. Now, we can't do it, but God works through us to do it, right? Come on, how many knows the water hose is not the one that gets the water to you? It's not what makes the water, but it's what gets the water to you. Right? We're just kind of like a hose. God's already the water, and He's looking for you and I to convey it to somebody else. That's what the body of Christ does. That's the reason Jesus could say, "The works that I do, greater works shall you do because I go to the Father." Folks have said, "Well, you know, how are we doing greater works?" Well, you've got to understand that each one of us now is able to do the works that Jesus did. Jesus was one person doing the works, and here we are all doing the works because we've been anointed by the Holy Ghost. He lives in us, and He's given us the ability to do those things. Amen. See, so we got it. We got to get excited about it. We got to understand God wants us on more than just milk. He wants us on meat. Now, I don't know about you, but I think God wants us to do more with our Christianity than, you know, just put it in gear and give it some gas. Right? Come on. He wants you to be more than just a pew sitter, just a born-again person, just a churchgoer that's ready to go to heaven. Thank God for all that. But God wants so much more from you. He wants you to get a hold of so much more because you have a greater one living on the inside of you. The power of God is operating in you. Do you understand that the Holy Ghost lives in you? This is the same Holy Ghost that when God spoke over nothing was hovering over the face of the earth to do everything that God said. The Holy Ghost made everything as God spoke it out. Now that same Holy Ghost lives on the inside of you, and He's waiting for you to go ahead and operate. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead quickens or makes alive your mortal body. He's in there. Come on, the same Holy Ghost that Jesus used. The same way Jesus operated, that's how you operate. See, that's I know that's deep, but see, we're not talking milk here. We're talking some meat. Because Jesus didn't do one miracle till the Holy Ghost came upon Him. And you can't do nothing till the Holy Ghost comes upon you. But after He does, you go read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and there's a whole list, 12 spiritual gifts. Gifts of the Spirit that operate through you if you'll allow Him to. See, but if we don't know that, then we'll never activate those. Right? You know, I can get in the cabinet sometimes, and Pastor Rhett does a pretty good job of hiding stuff. She'll sneak and put it way back in the back somewhere and put stuff in front of it and whatever. She loves me. That's why she does it. It's not that she's mean or anything like that. Because she says I don't have any willpower. She's right. You know, but she'll have something back there and I'll be digging through there. And it takes some work because you got to take some stuff out. She hides it good. Okay, so she'll put it behind heavy stuff, you know, the flour and the meal. Ain't nothing supposed to be back there. But sometimes you're sliding stuff around. I'm looking through the cabinet and, you know, I found it. Yes, I didn't know that was in there. And I'll jerk that out of there. And then maybe a few days go by and Pastor will say, "You eat my cake." What you talking about, baby? What I'm trying to say, it was there all the time. I just didn't know it was there till I went to digging for it. Once I went to digging for it, I found it. Can I tell you, there's things in the Word of God that you don't know yet. It's there waiting for you to discover. And once you do, it's going to be a delight. You know, when I find a pack of cookies at home, okay, sirrah, sirrah. Because, see, she says I don't have moderation, you know, and I just tell off on us. After Tim and I told him there Sunday night, I said, "We're going to do better. We're going to start doing better tomorrow." He said, "We are?" That tells me right there he didn't want to. Because I really didn't want to, but I'm trying to convince him. I haven't told her yet. This week, when we stopped, you know those packs of donuts? You know, you can get the pack that's got like three or four little donuts in it, right? You know, Little Debbie's or whatever you're getting. But you also can get the packages that's got a lot more donuts in it. And we got this, I picked up a pack of donuts. And it didn't have, most of the time, they have that little fold-down thing so you can reseal them. You know, and I told him, I said, well, this ain't got no seal on it, so we can't seal it back. So before we got to where we were going, we didn't need to seal it back. Because there was nothing in it to seal up. We couldn't just eat us one or two donuts apiece. We had to eat the whole bag. And the guy in the back didn't want none. We was glad he did. That's just more for us. What if we did that with the Word of God? What if we just said, I'm going to empty the bag? I'm going to get in the Word of God and I'm going to get air. I want the last crumb of the Word of God in my life so that it can operate in me and I can be what God wants me to be. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to move and be that way. Now, God doesn't want us just putting in gear and just driving. He wants us to have access to everything Christianity has for us. And here's the thing. The more you use it, the more familiar you come to become with it. Right? Come on now, remember when you first started getting your smartphones? They was a lot smarter than you, right? You trying to figure out, you know, what to do and oh my goodness, what if I push this button and all that. And now your little kids, you just reach them to them. I had Lillian one time adjust my icons for me because I didn't know how. She wasn't that tall. Made me feel bad, but got them adjusted just the same, you know. Right? But the more you use things, the more you know. It's just like driving your car. The more you drive your car, the more you get used to it. You understand and know how to take curves. You know, Scotty's always got a hot rod, and after he's had one a little while, he don't just turn a normal curve. When he goes into a curve, he has to do that little slide thing around the curve. You know. Well, somebody else watching Scotty, that looks so simple. You know, I mean, but he's drove enough to do that. He had a friend, and he said, I want you to know something. You're the reason I wrecked my car into the bottom. He said, what'd I do? He said, I watched you come around them curves, surreal, just slide around there. He said, it looked like so much fun, I thought I'd try. He started around the curve, lost it, and ended up over in the bottom and rode his car. Why? Because he hadn't practiced doing it. We've got to practice the Word, church, so that we get used to doing it, so that it's just second nature to us. The first thing we holler out is not call an ambulance. It's let's pray or decree life and not death. Right? We don't call ourselves broke. That's not the first. Oh, we're broke. No. Money's on its way in Jesus' name. Come on now. We don't call ourselves sick. We're the healed of God in Jesus' name. Why? You're lying, preacher. That's a lie. No, it's not. It's calling those things that be not as though they were. And the Bible says that's what God does. And if we're the children of God, I reckon we can do what Daddy does. Amen. But you have to learn that from the Word of God or it'll just blow your mind. You know, it's sad that most folks have never studied the Word in that area enough to realize and know all the things God... And believe me, I ain't scratched the surface and neither have you. Amen. We're still learning all the time, more and more, the way God wants us to operate. But we've learned some things. I've learned that God wants the very best for us upon this earth. And anything coming up against us is not from God, it's from the devil because he's the one that comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So God wants us to have nothing but good things, although we have a real devil on this earth that wants to wreak havoc. Okay? So, look over here in James and we're going to close right here. James chapter 1, verse 21. James writes and he says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Look at verse 22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, very, very important, continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. See, God says, if you get into my word, stay into my word and do my word, you're going to end up blessed. Isn't that good news? Amen. We got to get off the baby milk. Right? We've got to move on now and get into the meat. Now, understand that that's a process. You don't take a baby from milk straight to meat. Right? You start out from the milk and then you start getting slushy foods. Right? Liquidy foods. But thicker. So they get used to that. And you just keep working them up till you get on the meat. You start out on the milk. You get saved. But then you start getting into the Word of God and you start learning more stuff. Start finding out there's a whole lot more in the Word of God than what you thought. Now, some things are hard meat, strong meat, tough meat, thick meat that you have to chew on some, because when we hear it, our minds, it kind of makes us go tilt. But if God said it, then it's settled. He cannot lie. It's true. And so we might as well just go ahead and chew on that and get it to where we can eat it, because God said it and He meant it. He wants us to have it. Amen. All right. Come on. Stand to your feet with me.